And we're looking at verses 36 to 40. Judges 6, 36 to 40. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We praise you for it, and we pray that you would be with us today, that we would be able to think about these verses and this experience of Gideon and see more of your glory. Praise you. Please be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, I really loved the book of Judges. It was like the comic book section of the Old Testament. All of the superheroes were gathered there, and I remember reading through these chapters over and over, probably when I should have been listening to the sermon that was going on. I can't believe my parents are letting me read this stuff. Don't they know what's in this book? And maybe that was just a boy thing. I don't know. But I love that book now for more than just the drama and the violence that's in it. It's a book that really relentlessly points us to Jesus. He is the great deliverer. Every judge in this book is pointing us to him. They point us to him in their strengths, in their faith, and their power. They point us to Jesus in their weaknesses as well. Every one of them has weaknesses that are mentioned, except for Othniel. They don't mention any weaknesses. But all the others have some kind of weakness that's mentioned, some problem. And in their problems, in their imperfections, we're reminded of Jesus, that he doesn't reflect them in those ways. They're an imperfect reflection of him, the great deliverer. I don't know who it is that said God uses crooked sticks to draw straight lines. Many of these judges were very crooked. And one of those crooked sticks, imperfect leaders, is this character of Gideon that we're looking at. If you were to read all of the chapters in Judges that deal with Gideon, you see something of his great skill as a warrior as the story goes on, but probably the most striking thing about Gideon is his fearfulness and his doubt of God's promises to him. Think back to what you know of Gideon and this whole story. Where do we meet Gideon? We meet him hiding in a wine press because the enemies of Israel might see him. He's hiding from them. Now, recognize. Noticing the fearfulness of Gideon is not making fun of it. I'm not sitting here saying that I would be way more brave than Gideon was under those circumstances. But the author of Judges specifically mentions where we find Gideon when the angel of the Lord arrives. It mentions that he's hiding from the enemy. And when the angel of the Lord arrives, the angel's word is, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Seems almost maybe said without irony. I don't know if there was an ironic tone when the angel said that. Moving on in that story of Gideon, you remember, even in that first episode, the angel comes and speaks to him. Some people in the Old Testament are terrified of angels when they meet them. Sometimes the people can't tell that they're actually angels. That's what goes on with Gideon. He can't tell that this is the angel of the Lord. And so he says, "I'll go and make you a meal. I'll honor you as my guest with this meal." He's very hospitable. Always kind of made me wonder how long the angel of the Lord had to wait for Gideon to go away and cook an entire meal and bring it back. But he waited, makes the meal. Gideon brings it to him. Remember, the angel of the Lord touches the meal. It burns up in a flash of flame, and the angel of the Lord disappears. Any of you remember what Gideon's response is to that? Response is, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." It's utter panic. And the Lord has to come back and tell Gideon, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." God actually has to come back and assure him that he won't die. He really could have just left Gideon to figure that out eventually, right? But he comes back to assure him, to encourage Gideon, that this terror will pass. Once again, to make clear, we're not making fun of Gideon by noting these things. We're noticing the narrative that the author is presenting here. He's showing these examples of a sort of fearfulness that's part of this character. He's asked to do courageous things, and God will empower him to do them. Reading that narrative, you go come next to the call for Gideon to destroy the idols in his hometown. God tells him to go and destroy those idols. This is, I think, chapter 7, verse 27. "So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime." He does it, but he's afraid to do it. I've read somewhere that the bravest people are the people who are afraid to do something and do that terrifying thing anyway. Gideon does obey. He's afraid to do it. It seems that God is preparing Gideon, calling him to do what in some ways are small faithfulnesses. Some of them are big things, but they're leading up to what God is finally calling him to do, to deliver the people of Israel in battle. That's often the case in our lives. God gives us opportunities to trust him, to build up not our confidence, but our faith. Think of how much you trusted God 5 years ago. Do you trust him more now? If so, why? I think one answer to that would be that he has proved faithful over the last 5 years. If not, if you can look back over those 5 years and say, 5 years ago, I think I really trusted God more. Why is that? He has proven faithful. So what is it that has undermined your faith as time goes on? I think that'd be a good thing for us to think about. Well, God comes to Gideon and calls him to do this grand thing, to go out and fight the Midianites, to deliver Israel. Call up the army of Israel and go to war. And that really brings us back to our current passage, these verses, this episode with the fleece. We see once again that Gideon's been called to do this thing, and he's concerned that he might have misunderstood. He doubts God's good purpose in this call. And so he wants to test God. Listen to those words again. If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Do you hear how audacious a request that is? If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised. He knows what God has promised. God promised to deliver Israel through his hand. Gideon knows that. Imagine a child responding this way to the parents. I know that you've said you'll take me for ice cream, but I just want to make sure. If you're really going to take me for ice cream, show me. Now, it might be a little funny if the child was actually parodying Gideon. But it would get kind of annoying if this was the child's attitude regularly. I think eventually you'd respond, I said I'll do it, right? I'm going to do it. I said I would. The demand that Gideon is making is kind of a little silly in some respects, right? A fleece and water here or there. Notice the final words in verse 37. Then I will know that you'll save Israel by my hand, as you said. Once again, let me remind you that I'm really not really believing. I heard it. I know what you said, but I'm really just not sure. When I hear Gideon doing this, it brings to mind things like Deuteronomy 6, that call to not put the Lord your God to the test. I mean, Gideon had that part of the Bible, right? He had Deuteronomy chapter 6. Seems like God could have responded, "Ooh, who do you think you are? I said that I would do this. How dare you?" That unbelief, your fearfulness is a condemnation of me. What are you saying about me, that I won't fulfill the promise that I've made? God could have responded that way. But do you see what God's response is in verse 38? And that is what happened. That's God's response. Water in the fleece and not on the ground. It's a miracle, right? That's not one of the these sort of major miracles we often think of, but that's a miracle, something unnatural that God chooses to do. Do you see the grace and the mercy of God in that miracle? Guess what? Gideon does it again. The same test. Really, I think the same lack of faith, except that God had just answered his request earlier. And God kindly performs the miracle again. Even all of this is not enough. In chapter 7, God has to provide another reassurance to Gideon before the battle takes place. It almost seems like Gideon has almost no faith at all. It seems like that. And yet God graciously reassures him. God deals with him tenderly. God stoops to his weakness and graciously props up his faith. I think there are three things very quickly as we finish that I'd want us to take away from this. What do we learn from this? First one is that faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the intentional turning back to the promises of God. I said earlier, if we're just reading this, it seems like Gideon has no faith at all. And yet if we turn to Hebrews 11, verse 32, we get, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. There's some strange names in that list and some awesome names on that list, and all of them, Gideon included, are recorded as heroes of the faith. This is faith, trusting God's promises, fighting for confidence in them. Gideon was able to in some way correspond with God, to ask God for this sign and get God's response to him. We have the advantage of God's word given to us. We have the advantage of brothers and sisters in Christ, the church, here to encourage us in our faith. As we look at this episode, I think the lesson we take is not that we should find some way to put out a fleece whenever we have a question of God, to find some way to put God to the test. No, I think we are encouraged to turn our hearts again to the promises God has made and struggle to believe. Remember the request of the father with the sick boy in Mark 9. I do believe. Help my faith isn't the absence of all doubt. It's the intentional turning back to the promises of God. Second thing I'd want us to take away is this idea. God is more gracious than we are fearful. God had no reason to give Gideon the assurances that he did. But that's how God responds. I think as we think about God and focus in on his response, it's a reminder that God is ultimately the main character in the book of Judges. God is the main character in the Bible. God's the main character in your life. What do we see in the Bible? What do we see in our experience? We see that God is patient. This is his heart that's extended to us. Sometimes we hide our doubt from everyone around. We try to hide it from God if we could do that. But God isn't irate at our struggle. He stoops to our weakness. He gives us his spirit. He reminds us of the truth. Think of Jesus with Thomas. Put your finger in my side. It's a tactile reminder that Jesus is there. This is the God that we serve. Finally, as we look at this passage, we want to remember what God has done. This is where we look in our doubt. Our doubt, when we face doubts, our response isn't, give me another sign. Our response is to say, what has God done? What sign has God given of his good intentions, of his reliability, of his love for us? He's given us his Son. We look to the cross, and our faith is strengthened there. As we think about these things, I hope that our trust in this faithful and kind and gracious God is strengthened. Just like Gideon's was strengthened. Gideon's faith was strengthened by the sign he received. May our faith be strengthened by the sign we have received. Savior who would give up his Son for us. When your faith falters this week, it probably will at some point, trust in this God. He is worthy of our faith. Lord God, we thank you for the God you are. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for stooping to our weakness, mighty as you are. Oh Lord, would you please help us to trust you? Would you help us not to be looking for signs around us or setting up tests? Lord, you have revealed yourself through your word. You've revealed yourself, your grace through your Son. Would you help us to be strong to trust you this week? We praise you. Please be with us in Jesus' name.